Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. We have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur and spokesperson for God. And it is time for your brain massage, where I work out the knots that get developed in our heads, created by all the lies we're exposed to on a daily basis. Ah, smell that. Yes, the refreshing aroma of truth, justice, and the American way. How's that? Okay, let's get our brain massage, preparing us for battle with the lib fibbers that surround us today. So every time a political leader comes along who is wildly popular, the conspiracy theories start formulating, and very soon the announcements begin surfacing that the Antichrist has come. Henry Kissinger, everyone was certain, was the Antichrist. I think some thought Nixon was, some believed Clinton was, some said Bush was. I mean, probably every high-profile public figure has at one time or another been fingered by someone as the Antichrist. Sometimes, however, someone comes along who trips so many alarms, they get the attention of some serious prophecy students. Shall we call them prophecy mongers? How am I doing, Reed? Obama is one of those characters who has so many characteristics that seem to line up with the biblical personality prophesied concerning the end-time world ruler we call the Antichrist, that, well, even I feel obliged to take notice. But hang on. It is not because I think he is the Antichrist. That's just that so many are saying so, I need to answer them. However, he is, without any question, Antichrist. Are you confused? Hang on. The parallels are enough to encourage some to suppose Obama might be to the Antichrist what John the Baptist was to Christ. Rolling your eyes yet? Well, that's the conclusion of, by the way, quote, respected Catholic writer Michael O'Brien, end quote. You whacked out 9/11 conspiracy freaks raise an eyebrow at my statement that Obama just might be to the Antichrist what John the Baptist was to Jesus Christ. Well, anyway, I'm not going to reveal my conclusion in the matter until, well, until the end of the show. Now, last time I told you about the eerie resemblance between Obama's stage from which he delivered his acceptance speech for the Democratic National Committee nomination to run for president, and the Pergamon altar at Berlin, Germany. Now, if you've seen pictures of the stage constructed within Mile High Stadium in Invesco Field, home of the Denver Broncos, you probably noticed the Greek-like facade. And maybe you thought, well, now that's weird. Michael Barron, or Baron, senior writer for the U.S. News and World Report, now he's with Washington Examiner, I think, he noticed the striking similarity of Obama's stage to the famous Pergamon altar in Germany. In his article titled Obama's Acceptance Speech Hit Some High Notes, But His Themes Won't Hold Up, he observed, quote, first a trivial point. The temple stage set at Invesco Field was obviously a knockoff of the Pergamon altar in the quite wonderful Pergamon Museum in Berlin, end quote. Now, folks, the reason I mention this is that Michael Barron is a self-professed irreligious man, though respectful of the religious beliefs of others. His comment, therefore, cannot be taken as the rantings of a religious nut. He made a simple observation. When you look at the stage upon which Obama delivered his nomination acceptance speech, it looks like the Pergamon altar in Berlin. It is as simple as that. Now, this altar has some interesting historical significance. It is called the Pergamon Altar because it was once located in that ancient city named Pergamus, which is the modern city called Bergama in Turkey. The Pergamus Altar is believed to have been the altar to Zeus, in Greek mythology, the, quote, father of the gods, end quote, whose throne was in the, quote, white mountains, end quote. And you've probably seen the pictures of Zeus up there and his white mountain, everything's, you know, his white palace and white temple and all this business. Anyway, perhaps you have heard of the white mountains of Crete, where Zeus became a man? The Pergamon altar is now housed in the Pergamus Museum in Berlin, Germany. Hitler's fascination with occult symbolism is well known. But anyway, he had his favorite speech-making place built after the pattern of this altar to Zeus. Now, this altar to Zeus, the father of the gods, whose throne is set in the white mountains of Crete, where, quote, Zeus became a man, end quote, was constructed in Denver, Colorado at Invesco Field, also known as Mile High Stadium, after Obama returned from Germany. So let's take a look at that trip to Germany during his campaign for the nomination of his party to run for President of the United States, shall we? It was his first European trip as presidential candidate, and he broke the mold. I mean, rarely do candidates travel abroad at all, during a campaign at least. It's a relatively new development, and when they did, it was usually Italy, Ireland, and Israel. They call it the three I's. Barack chose Iraq, Afghanistan, and Germany? Why Germany? His campaign organizers wanted him to deliver his speech at the Brandenburg Gate, the place famous for President Reagan's challenge to Gorbachev. Remember that one? Wasn't that a great day? Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. It's a very famous gate in Germany with a famous statue of the goddess of victory, Victoria, who is depicted driving her four-horse chariot triumphantly into the city proclaiming peace. But the Chancellor, Angela Merkel, refused to allow Barack to use the Brandenburg Gate for Obama's politicking roadshow. Well, they then petitioned to use the Zygiskel. I hope I pronounced that at least close. It's, in English, the Victory Column. This was a monument to the Germans' victory over the Danes in 1864. Atop the column is depicted the goddess of victory. And this was Hitler's favorite location for his Nazi rally speeches. A United States presidential candidate giving his speech at this location, the place where Hitler stood so many times, rousing his blind devotees to rally around his final solution? Well, it's chilling. What a place to choose. Anyway, when Obama stretched out his hand, ostensibly to wave at the crowd while standing there, no one with any sense of history could fail to think of Hitler stretching out his arm in the famous Nazi salute. I mean, it was eerie. Why did he pick Germany? Why give his speech at that place where Hitler stood? Where he's calling the world to come together in peace, like Hitler did. After the speech, the German announcer enthusiastically declared, quote, "We have just heard the next president of the United States and the future president of the world," end quote. How about that? However, many Germans were disturbed by this gesture. They recognized the column as a Nazi symbol of past German aggression and questioned the wisdom of using it as the backdrop for a presidential hopeful speech. One German politician named Andreas Schachenhoff was troubled by this, and he said, quote, "It is a problematic symbol," end quote. While it is a carefully guarded secret, the kind, you know, not outright denied but never admitted, it is believed that Obama visited the nearby Pergamon altar while he was in Berlin to give his speech. Perhaps it was there that he was inspired to model his acceptance speech stage after this altar to Zeus. And of all places to construct such a stage, an altar to Zeus, Denver, Colorado. Well, you might ask, what is so unique about Denver, Colorado? It just happens to be the truth that Denver has been and continues to be a virtual capital for the New Age movement. I mean, this has been going on since probably, well, back in the 60s, when the New Agers, the Aquarius children, began to congregate there, grooving to the tunes of John at Denver, and connecting with the spiritual powers, you know, that allows them to bend spoons and forks. I'm not kidding you. Where probably 50% of the executives in that entire city, including the politicians, by the way, have experienced some sort of New Age transformational event, as they call it. Denver is the hotbed of New Age occult synergies. Probably more spiritualists, New Age gurus, and so forth have got their headquarters in Denver than anywhere else. Anyway, you take the fact that Obama patterns his acceptance speech stage after the Pergamus altar and put that together with the fact that, well, in the Bible, Pergamus is named as the place where Satan's seat is, or Satan's throne. And it is where the beloved martyr of Jesus Christ, named by him Antipas, was burned alive as an offering to Zeus. Oh, yeah. And by the way, Antipas, that's an unusual name. You don't find it anywhere except once in the Bible. Some suggest it means no father. Etymologically, that's arguable. In the biblical context, it is thought to indicate one who was faithful to the exhortation of Jesus to call no man father on earth. But one of the marks of the Antichrist spirit is to have this thing in them to call somebody father, besides their biological father, you know what I mean? Somebody to call them father in a religious sense, to look to some political leader as a father, to seek out religious leaders who will be daddy. And the New Age religions all seek a father. And the priests of Baal, the ancient religion from which New Age religions come, Nimrod's religion, you know, the religion of the New Age, they all want father, some religious father. And it's believed this Antipas was burned alive in a giant statue of a horned bull on this very altar, as an offering to Zeus. That's interesting history. Stay with me here. Now, you add to all of that Obama's obvious despite for genuine biblical Christianity, his willingness to identify with Hitler's Nazism, whose declaration to the German people was that he would wipe off the veneer of Christianity and return the people to the ancient religion of his German ancestors. Oh, yeah. He added all that to Obama's obvious scorn for the Jews and his willingness to support and encourage her enemies. And add to this his promise to declare a new age for America, to break her from her Christian heritage and to plot a new course for our country. It's the same thing Hitler did in Germany, my friends. Then you add to that this his symbol, Obama's symbol, during his campaign. The symbol, that symbol's always confused me, by the way. It kind of developed. Did you pay attention? How that symbol kind of morphed and developed until finally it came to its full flower at the Democratic National Convention. I mean, the Democratic National Convention put together a YouTube video in which they introduced Obama with a screen that presented this emblem rising among a faded mountain range background. That's the Obama logo, the circle, you know, with the three alternating red and white stripes that kind of like a rainbow, maybe suggestive of a flag, sort of, kind of a distorted flag, a warped flag of America. Interesting. And then above that has been a little, looks like a moon or a little glowing white fuzzy-edged ball, you know, rising up. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? But when it came to the Democratic National Convention, guess what they had there in a place of that little white ball that was pictured before? They had a white mountain range within the circle of Obama's rising sun. Oh, yeah. And then above that, in a blue sky background, there are three little stars, five-point stars there. Now, what the heck is that about? The other place I can find this particular symbolism is on that opening screen of the Democratic National Committee or Convention's prepared video posted on YouTube. And you can find it at www.denverdnc2008.com. Click on the DNC link and you'll see some shots of Obama backstage preparing to make his entrance to announce his acceptance of the Democratic National Committee nomination to run for president. And just before he enters, the screen comes up. It's very like his campaign logo, like I said, with these differences. First, of course, it's a full screen depicting a blue background of a faded mountain range in the background, and then lighter colored blue rays shooting upward from behind that mountain range. His logo is pictured right in the center, rising, kind of like the sun, with his three alternating red and white bands, you know. But instead of the white circle rising up from behind these bands, as in his logo, as it developed later on in his campaign, there is instead a mountain range, a white mountain range, and then arched over the top of the white mountain range, there are three five-pointed stars. So you've got a guy who chooses to give his acceptance speech from the altar of Zeus, the father of the gods, whose throne is in the White Mountains, where Zeus becomes man, and then he uses a symbol that includes a white mountain range rising over the mountains of the earth. And, you know, the Bible uses the symbol of a mountain to indicate a government. Now, isn't all this very interesting? And then you got his name, but we'll come back to that after the break. All right, I've got to take a short one. I'll be right back.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.
The brain massage experience is described by many as feeling like your mind has been liberated and your soul wrapped in the warm embrace of truth. Stay tuned for your brain massage experience.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach. It is time to complete your brain massage for today. Obama is being called the Antichrist. Many think he is at least the forerunner. Others think it's all a bunch of hooey. You know, the same old crowd that gets stirred up anytime a high-profile political leader says anything about peace or a new world order or emphasizes the importance that all the nations get together as one big, happy family of man. Anyway, there are some interesting things going on with Obama that require our attention. Is Obama the Antichrist? Well, let me run through the key biblical identifiers of that personality the Bible describes as the man of sin. One, he will have no regard for the God of his fathers. That's in Daniel 11:37. In fact, we are told he will honor, quote, the God of forces, end quote, who, by the way, is the God of Nimrod, the God of fortifications, quote, a God whom his fathers knew not, end quote. This is none other than the chief god among the gods, or according to Greek mythology, Zeus, the father of gods. Isn't that interesting? And number two, he will rise from obscurity to become a world-dominating personality, almost as if by magic. Daniel 7, verse 8, and this from the fact that he's called Little Horn, but he comes to be a world-dominating ruler. Number three, he will magnify himself above all. Daniel 11:37, and also read 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-7. And number four, many believe he will likely be a homosexual or a sodomite. And this is taken from Daniel 11:37, by the way, where we are told that he will not regard the desire of women. Some also see this in Daniel 2:43, where it says, quote, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, end quote, you know, suggesting that some perverted group is going to attempt to create a test tube baby by bypassing the seed of the woman. But according to the Bible, what we know for sure is he will not have any regard for the desire of women. Number five, he will have a stout countenance, Daniel 7:20. Have you heard about Obama's reputation for giving people the evil eye? Quote, staffers have joked about the menacing glance which comes when the president meets with world leaders who are not aligned with his progressive view, end quote. I've seen that evil eye flash. You probably have too if you've paid attention. Number six, he will be a great orator with a, quote, mouth that spake very great things, end quote, Daniel 7, verse 20. And number seven, he will advance his agenda by flatteries of peace, Daniel 8, verse 25. Number eight, he will encourage craft, which is witchcraft, to prosper during his administration, Daniel 8, verse 25. And along with this is the fact that he will have amazing occult power, Daniel 8, verse 10. Okay, so you can see why so many are thinking this might be the guy. However, there are a few that don't get a lot of press I should bring to your attention. Number nine, he will be called the Assyrian, Isaiah 10:5 and verse 24 with Micah 5:5 to 6. And number 10, he will be connected in some way to Tyre of Lebanon, Ezekiel 28:2 to 12. Now, it does not appear that Obama can qualify in either of these cases, and his correspondence to the others, while chilling, is not convincing. I mean, not only does he not have the credentials to be the president of the United States because he will not show us his birth certificate, he doesn't really even qualify to be the Antichrist. Man, what a bummer. Poor guy. However, let us consider some characteristics of what the Bible refers to as the spirit of Antichrist, 1 John 4:3. You see, there's the spirit of Antichrist, and then there's the personality who embodies that spirit, the man, the end-time world ruler we call the Antichrist. Well, number one, the spirit of Antichrist denies that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and that this is connected with the scripture that says that he is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Now, I should probably explain this a little bit because some of you might not be familiar with all this. Remember, Satan is a very deceptive being. He, quote, transforms himself into an angel of light, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:14. By the way, some of you Bible-hating liberals, are you okay? You need any oxygen? You doing all right? In the biblical context, Jesus Christ is an exclusive, none like him. He and he alone is, quote, God manifest in the flesh, end quote, 1 Timothy 3:16, John 1, 1-14. He is the only begotten of the Father, John 1:14 and 18. He alone is Christ, which is the manifestation of God in flesh, or Emmanuel. God with us is what that word means. In other words, his flesh alone is Christ. Following this? While his spirit manifests Christ in our mortal flesh, according to 2 Corinthians 4:11, you following this? Our mortal flesh isn't Christ. Now listen, this is the important point. Only Jesus can make the claim that his flesh is Christ. Those who deny this exclusive claim to Jesus Christ are among those who deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. You follow this? Oprah denies that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Again, this is referring to his flesh. For Jesus himself said that we all must be born of God if we're going to be saved. But only Jesus was the Son of God in his flesh from the moment of conception. Oprah despises this doctrine, and she says, we're all children of God. She denies the exclusivity of Jesus. She thinks he's a nice guy and all, but her idea is that Jesus came along to teach us all that we all are potential Christs in the earth. Now, Paul thought differently than Oprah does. He spoke in terms of not I, but Christ. Think about that. Whereas Oprah and her devotees all teach the I is potential Christ. And that's what New Age religion teaches. And Obama agrees with Oprah on this and on many other things. Oprah points to Obama as the one who will unite the world into one. And so let's look at number two. The spirit of Antichrist despises the gospel and especially hates genuine Christianity. You know, the Bible believer kind, 2 Corinthians 4:4 and John 16, 7 to 13. Number three, the spirit of Antichrist hates the bands and cords of the restraints of God's laws. And you can see that in Psalm number two. And then number four, the spirit of Antichrist calls for one world religion. Did you know that? And one world government under a one world ruler. It's something we call Nimrodism. It all started with Nimrod. And then number five, because the spirit of Antichrist is working to prepare for the coming of the Antichrist, well, then the spirit of Antichrist will be identifiable by the following characteristics and trends among them. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Oh, they want to talk about peace all the time. Disarmament, very big feature of the Antichrist agenda. Isaiah 2:4, Micah 4:3. With regard to answering the question, is Obama the Antichrist? Well, no, but he certainly is of the Antichrist spirit, a spirit that has characterized these trends. Peace, peace when there is no peace. Disarmament, disarmament, disarmament. Promotion of the occult, which goes hand in hand with a heightening of reverence for nature that ultimately exalts nature above man. And you all know pagans all want to worship the rocks and they want to worship the trees, right? And that's a tendency in the Antichrist spirit. And then another one, promotion of homosexuality, which, oddly enough, always joins hands with the perversion of the nature of man himself. So they want to bring man to worship nature, and then they want to pervert his own nature so that he goes contrary to, it's just bizarre, promotion of biogenetics. You know, this idea of mingling the seed with the seed of men? What's all that about? Probably points to this trend among the children of disobedience to get into biogenetics, you know, and then Nimrodism, I've mentioned it already, but this one-worldism, globalism under a benevolent dictator. This accounts for the worldling's fascination with communism, socialism, and why they are so enamored by dictators. And you've noticed it. I've heard you talking. They don't even know what spirit they are of, my friends. And so technically, I do not see Obama as the Antichrist. On the other hand, there is no question that he is Antichrist. Now, how about you? Are you unwittingly moving in response to the spirit of Antichrist? One way to know is if you have quit thinking for yourself and just started going with your feelings, man. You see, you separated yourself from the rational part of your being and you've given yourself over to the control of the mystical part of your being or of your psyche. Look out. You'll see the eye. You've bought into the message. Don't think, feel. You follow your heart. You trust yourself. You're your own God. All of that is evidence of the Antichrist spirit. I've run out of time. What do you say, folks? What spirit are you of? It is possible to become seduced by spirits that deceive you into thinking all this Greenpeace nonsense is actually Christian. There are many who actually believe socialism and even communism are compatible with Christianity. There are those who actually think that when the government robs you of the product of your labor, your property, and decides who should have it and who should not, well, that this is a Christian thing. Unbelievable. Go ahead and check every give to the poor verse in the Bible. You'll not find a single one that justifies taking by force the product of one man's labor and giving it to another. That's stealing. If you truly want to help the poor, you know what? Get the government out of the way. Let the American people do what they do better than any other nation on earth, my friend. And that's how we take care of one another. But when government sticks their greedy hands in it, it becomes corrupted and woefully inefficient, and it tends only to exacerbate the problem. Hey, I've got to go. But I said I would say to you something about his name. You know, this thing went around about Barack Obama, meaning or being the Hebrew of what Jesus said when he told us that he watched Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And you've probably read that verse, and indeed Jesus said exactly that. And it is true, by the way. The word Barak in Hebrew is the word for lightning. And interestingly, the word Bama is the word for heights. However, you see, this word Bama is never translated heaven. And if Jesus was speaking Aramaic, as the guy circulating this rumor suggests, he would certainly have used the word for heaven, which is Shamay or Shemayim. And there are a couple other words translated heaven, rarely used, I think, Gilgal and Shachak. But in any event, the word Bama is never translated heaven and never used to refer to heaven in the Bible. So you add to this another problem. The language of Hebrew does not use O like ho in Greek for the article the. It doesn't, so Obama doesn't mean the heaven. I mean, it's just these people do this stuff. It makes me crazy. But the fellow made the mistake of resting his argument upon the statement Jesus made regarding seeing Satan fall from heaven, saying that since he spoke Aramaic, he would have used these words to make that statement. He would not have used these words to make that statement. So his argument falls apart. Nevertheless, it is intriguing that these words fall so close to these two Hebrew terms. But alas, guess what? We have another problem. Obama's not Jewish, and he wasn't given a Jewish name. Anyway, all of this notwithstanding, I think there is something interesting in the fact that his name so nearly translates these words. You see, because there is no question he is under the control and influence of the spirit of Antichrist. However, with regard to his name, I prefer to see his name as signifying, if we're going to play Hebrew with it, I see it as signifying this. He's going to fall from the heights, my friends. His name, in my opinion, includes a Hebrew prophecy that he's going to fall. And he is, isn't he, already falling in the polls. But anyway, it's time for you to call in and give me a piece of your mind to chew on. Call 1-888-770-8000. It is a toll-free number. Call me 1-888-770-8000. Or you can email me through our website, santamarialighthouse.org. Click on the Contact Us link. Type as long a message as you like. Or you could call again, 1-888-770-8000. Give me lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. And God bless you, God save America, and I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If after 5 minutes or less of Pastor Scheidbach's brain massage, sounds like these begin involuntarily emanating from your throat, you are a lights off listener suffering liberal colic syndrome. On the other hand, if this sound rises in your heart at the sound of Pastor Scheidbach's voice, you are a light-on listener, reveling in the light of truth, justice, and the American way.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So, if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the Lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages Directory.
Rearranging the face of a clock around the fantasies of a child is cute, but children need to be taught to live in real time. Let's make sure the real world includes appropriate time with dad and mom and the family together, because it isn't just about time, it's about love. For real answers to family challenges, visit Lighthouse Baptist Church, shining the light of God's truth, guiding families to the safe harbor of God's protection and blessing. Look for the Lighthouse on Betteravia Road in Santa Maria.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and Sundays at 7 a.m. Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain with stimulating insights.